Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, it is the second hour today, friends, of Political Coffee, the show where we talk about the political issues of the day, hopefully in a way that helps you change your world by simply giving you thoughts, ideas, conversational talking points with a persuadable person in your world that you can persuade the persuadable. What are we talking about today? How can you hold the Oregon Health Authority Vaccine Committee accountable for holding a secret meeting and violating the law? It has to happen. We have to do this, folks. Because if a government can hold secret meetings and make decisions that affect your life, that's not only illegal under Oregon law, it's immoral. And at some point, you have to decide if you're going to stand up for what's right. Now, I just gave you a talking point that you could talk to somebody about today. Would you say it's immoral for a state agency to violate state law? To set aside the fact that it's illegal to hold a secret meeting. Isn't that kind of immoral? Also, Newsmax commits suicide. I'm going to ask you to join me today in emailing Newsmax and expressing your disgust at why they treated Mike Lindell in that interview yesterday the way that they did. It was obviously set up because Bob Sellers read a prepared statement. So Newsmax wanted to do this. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. And we need to let them know it's just wrong. By the way, you want to see all the evidence? And there are, speaking of that, let me go back to an email here. Dale sent me an email. Jeff, I wanted to add one more thing about Newsmax cutting off Mike Lindell's microphone. When they were talking over Mike, he mentioned he was releasing all the information on voter fraud on Friday, just in time for Trump's trial. Yeah, that's right, folks. Trump's trial begins on Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, the day after my birthday, because the Super Bowl's on my birthday this year. Yep. I think Mike Lindell is, what you may not know is that Mike has said this publicly, so I'm going to repeat it, but he has said that he has spent over $2 million of his own money paying for vote fraud research in this presidential election. If he releases that on Friday, it'll be the buzz over the weekend. That's good. You see, Lindsey Graham warning Trump, no, you don't want to talk about voter fraud because you'll just lose all of us Republicans. I would rather have that happen than an I would rather have Lindsey Graham expose himself and all of the other rhino Republicans. I don't think they would do it. I think they're scared of us, folks. Scared of us on the right. 50 million of us that voted for Trump believe that this election was stolen. I think they're scared to death of it. Lindsey Graham is bluffing. Trump needs to call him his bluff. He is a swamp creature. Yes, I supported his reelection. This guy, I hope and pray he tries to continue to intimidate. He'll fold like the cheap suit that he is. I know that's a little bit over the top maybe to say that, but he's just a swamp creature, folks. I'm disgusted with him like I am Newsmax. But I will tell you that Mike Lindell doing this is important. Because, by the way, you can go to this story, and I've got the story on the show plan, and I'll get it up on Facebook in just a bit. It is the actual data. It's from hereistheevidence.com. Hereistheevidence.com. Click on the new Pennsylvania data. And they give you the actual data. You can click on it. It's called Open Data PA. You can click on it and read it for yourself. This is data, folks. It isn't conjecture. Let me just give you one of these. And they have the facts. Facts one, fact two, fact three. Anybody can access this data. Anybody. You can download the mail ballot request. That's how they do it in Pennsylvania. CSV file. That's the Excel file. You can download it, showing the life cycle of every mail-in absentee ballot. And the Pennsylvania government periodically updates it. There are four known versions of this database. I'm reading this. A November 6th version, November 10th, and November 16th, and December 16th. The changes between the versions were never disclosed to the public. There are changes to the data. For instance, in all of these four versions, it shows that 23,305 ballots having a returned date before their actual mail date. And so the November 10th version showed 23,000 ballots. The November 16th version changed most of those, leaving only 185 ballots with this anomaly. The December 16th version had only 181. With each updated version, they write, ballots are deleted. There were 9,763 fewer ballot entries between the November 10th version and the 16th version. Now, so I'm getting a little bit into the weeds there, but my point to you is this. You can read the actual evidence for yourself, including the 161,774 mail-in ballot records that were changed between November 10th and December 16th versions. And of those changes, 116,840 ballots were given new return dates. What? How can you do that? You got to go back. And by the way, federal law says all of this data, including the actual mail-in ballot envelope, it all has to be preserved for 22 months, just like in Oregon. The evidence would be on the actual envelopes. Anyway, this is, I don't want to get into too more into the weeds. If you want to read this stuff, there's a lot there to read. So, by the way, our stream is down for the moment. Apparently, producer Phil says that our internet provider has a problem with their server. So they are working on it as we speak. So it still works on the app. So if you were listening on the internet on your computer and it went down on you, it still works on your phone app. Okay. You can still do that. Let's see. An unnamed state worker. If the corruptocrat, about secret meetings and Newsmax conflicts, secret meetings in Oregon. If the corrupt cats in Oregon are going to use the irrational, unnecessary, and unconstitutional COVID restrictions as an excuse for holding illegal secret meetings, especially about something as critical as vaccines, then they must be required to live stream public meetings on Zoom or some other web conferencing platform. Please submit a public records request for a recording or detailed minutes of the secret meeting or meetings that have occurred. Yes, that needs to happen. Regarding Newsmax, look at their sources of revenue to see who controls them. They are funded the same way CNN and MSNBC are. Just look at all the ads for pharmaceuticals, and anybody funded by Big Pharma is compromised, as Big Pharma hates Trump. That's right. They do. Linda writes an email. By the way, if you want to call, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Linda's email says this. According to Steve Bannon's podcast yesterday, the first hour after the review of the charges from Democrats and Hannity's program Monday night with the president's lawyer, talking about Trump's defense lawyer, the threats of even mentioning voter fraud are dire. Steve Bannon's first hour yesterday and his comments along with Raheem Kassam are very alarming. The president has no support anywhere except us. I was a huge fan of Newsmax. I caught the tail end of Bob Sellers rant yesterday, and I'm pulling away from Newsmax and now 100% none Newsmax except for the fellows at night. The ugliness of powerful Americans is certainly eye-opening and disgusting. What are they trying to hide, including Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and Kevin McCarthy? Pettiness, including trying to run the president out of his home in Florida, and no person is standing up for him, is pathetic to say the least. Well, there are some who are, as we are. And some very public figures like Tom writes an email, by the way, and producer Phil, this is for you, says the streaming on TuneIn Radio is working just fine. Haven't missed a beat yet this morning. I think that's the app that producer Phil's talking about, that the apps like TuneIn Radio or Simple Radio or a KSLM's own app is working with the stream. But it's just apparently what you get on your desktop computer or laptop that is the problem. At any rate, friends, Rush Limbaugh yesterday has continued to come out and to support Trump. Now, Rush will have to address this issue with what Newsmax did yesterday. Now, why did Newsmax do this? Well, I am convinced it is because they are being threatened with lawsuits. The fact that Bob Sellers read a statement that was clearly written by a lawyer, I think, just proves that point. And he did it so that they can inoculate themselves against a threatened lawsuit by Dominion. Now, Mike Lindell has to produce this evidence, don't you think? Back in a moment, 7:20.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 22 minutes past 7 o'clock. Hey, I want to thank Eric Azer at Righteous Renovations for being one of the great sponsors of this radio show and this radio station. They truly are. His company, Righteous Renovations, truly is a company that you can depend on when you need a contractor, especially if you're doing something like remodeling your kitchen, which is kind of the center of just about everybody's home, I think. That's a really personal space, or maybe even your own bathroom. That's another personal space. Well, that's what they specialize in, and they do a really good job. just go on their website and check it out, because you'll, I think, have great confidence that you can trust them to do the right thing. RighteousRenovations.com. RighteousRenovations.com. Check it out. You need a contractor? Eric Azer and his team are just the right ones. RighteousRenovations.com. Let's go back to the phones to Kathy. Kathy, good morning. What's on your mind today about this stuff?
Secret meetings. Well, didn't the Democrats hold secret meetings in the basement of the Capitol and actually lock out Republicans? Do you remember that?
Are you talking about the Oregon Capitol?
No. I'm just saying, remember when Congress, when the Democrats had meetings when the impeachment stuff was going on?
Right.
And they literally locked out Republicans. So if they can do it, why can't anybody else?
Because it's immoral, unethical, and it's illegal. That's why. But nobody held them accountable. Now, why would that be, Kathy? Why would nobody hold them accountable? Now, I have to say, though, Republicans really did a good job of getting some free press on that thing, because I remember all of those Republican congressmen going with, inviting the news media with them, and they went to the front door of that basement hearing room, and they were denied entrance. And they made a big stink about it. All of that just reinforces a narrative that we can use.
Right.
Kathy, you and I can use it in talking with other people to say things like, what are the Democrats afraid of? Why are they holding secret meetings? Why won't they open it up to the public?
Because they're being immoral and illegal. They don't want to be discovered. And they're just, aren't enough people out there to hold them accountable, I guess. It's got to stop.
It does. And the only way it's going to stop is, again, two ways. Lawsuits in the courts, because soon, you know the old saying, Kathy, you throw enough mud against the wall, sooner or later some of it sticks, right?
Right.
Well, the same is true when it comes to lawsuits. Sooner or later, you're going to win one or two. And at some point, then that creates problems for the other side. So you have to keep trying. You can't stop and just fold your tent and walk away. And I just think that that's the direction we have to go here. We have to keep holding these people accountable in every way we can. Because sooner or later, enough people are going to go, this is just wrong. I'm tired of these people hiding things from me. And I'm convinced this is one of the reasons that Kate Brown has such high negative ratings in this state.
Oh, yes.
Because people know she says one thing but does another. Nobody likes that, Kathy. Do you like it? I don't.
No. Have you seen the media go after the mayor of Portland over the past couple of days? Because he's not doing anything? They're giving him a hard time.
It's funny, isn't it?
It is. It's funny how all of a sudden they care about stuff.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting, isn't it? All of a sudden. Yeah, it's after Trump is gone. And you know, here's my theory on that, Kathy. You tell me if you think it's got any credence or not. What's happening, because Trump is not, I mean, he's strangely silent. I'm in the next segment, I'm going to get into why I think that's happening, because I think it's all related to the upcoming Senate trial and everything that's going to happen. But what's happening is there's stories beginning to appear at how these major news outlets, their viewership and their readership is just dropping like a rock.
Yes.
I think that's why Portland media, since they don't have Trump to beat up on, by and large now, they have to find somebody else to beat up on so they can continue to have readership. That's what I think.
Oh,
it's totally self-preservation.
I didn't think
that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my idea. Hey, thanks. I appreciate it, Kathy, as always. Let's go to Freddie. Freddie, good morning. How are you, brother? Go.
Good morning, Jeff. Hey, one of the things I'm thinking about Portland is that the destruction of Portland, I'm hopeful that it's going to eliminate their control over the elections because people are really seeing what's going on there. And, you know, I was looking at something the other day, a bunch of pictures of Portland, and, you know, all these riots and everything have really increased plywood sales and OSB sales because all of these businesses are just boarded up. And last night in Salem, I was sitting there having dinner, looking across the street in a flower shop, which was completely covered with plywood. How disgusting that in America we have these kind of things going on over Democratic control. It's destroying the economy, and I'm hopeful that people are going to wake up on the election time and think of we need to get rid of these idiots that are running this place and destroying our communities. That's what I'm hopeful for.
And I join you in that hope. And I think that people, I mean, there, Fred, there's just basic things of fairness and what's right and common sense that people, the persuadables, still have in, as part of their thought processes. And I think this is the opportunity for us to continue to have those conversations with those people so that they will eventually say, I've had enough. And I don't think we're there yet in this country. In fact, to be honest with you, Fred, I hope this doesn't happen, but I'm afraid it's going to. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Thanks, Freddie. Good talking to you at 7:30, folks. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes at the top of the hour. We're going to get to the phones in just a moment. We've got a couple of calls on right now. 503-589-1220. 1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line, or emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Christy writes me an email, says, former President Bill Clinton, who describes Newsmax's CEO Ruddy as a friend, made headlines when he visited Newsmax's offices during the summer of 2010. And there's lots of links there, and I am going to text, or actually I'm gonna email Newsmax TV, let them know how upset I am about what they've done. Tom writes me an email, says, Morning, sir, can you please send me info on the lawsuit mentioned on the program? I appreciate you. Also sent my disgust email to Newsmax. At least we can see what they're really about. It's like we see the truth of McConnell and Graham. Thanks for all you do. Indeed. Let's go to Rebecca first, and then we'll go to a new caller. Rebecca, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are. Well, I hope so. You faded there for a second.
I'm standing at the place we're able to get it the other day. Anyway, I'm calling because you had mentioned a website that we could go to see the voter fraud, and I missed what it was.
Okay, here's what it is. It's all one word. It's called hereistheevidence.com.
Okay, thank you. And
there's a lot there, too, by the way. There's a lot.
I also wanted to comment on your thing that the news media, the leftist news media, is looking for the next person to beat up. And I don't know if that's necessarily the way that they gain power. They beat up people when we're in power. But as soon as they get into power, they go kind of silent on what the leftists do. And I think that's what gives them power. Because they don't really care if anybody knows what they do. It's kind of like secret meetings you're talking about. And the news media that serves the leftist cause, I believe that they will be strangely silent. Like, the average person out there is tired of this, that they think, oh, now we're back to normal because there's not any news. Like, no news is good news. So I don't know that they're necessarily looking to make any headlines right now. They're going to lay quietly and let it appear that everything is improved because Trump is gone.
Well, I think that's partly true. I mean, I think that's why the major news media, Rebecca, has adopted this posture with at least Joe Biden and his press secretary of just rarely challenging them, softballing them, you know, by and large. But, you know, when it comes to attacking Ted Wheeler, you know, the Oregonian has to have somebody to whip up their readership on. And if they don't have Trump, and they don't have Kate, because they by and large give Kate a pass, although they didn't when it came to the transparency stuff. They have to beat up somebody because they need ratings. This is CNN and MSNBC's ratings have just plunged because why? Trump's gone. He's not out there all the time. Rebecca, thanks for your call. Let's go to a new caller. New caller, good morning. Who are you? What do you have to say today?
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
I just wanted to let you know that your internet broadcast is down.
Yeah, thank you. We know that. That's our internet provider, unfortunately, is they've had a server go down, apparently. And apparently with no backup, really frustrating. But it's still working on the app, so if you have it on your phone, You can get it on your phone. But thank you. I appreciate you calling. Okay. So got a text from Curtis, who is a former elected official in Oregon, about the, about complaints about maybe violating Oregon's open meeting laws, which, by the way, Kate Brown and the Democrats in control of the legislature, ever since she became governor, have signed something like 500. Now, I might be wrong. I think there's 500 plus total exemptions to Oregon's public records meeting law. Now, Kate Brown has signed a lot of those into law. Remember, she said she was going to be the most transparent governor ever. Wrongo. Anyway, Curtis writes this. This was in the days in 2006. Maybe this will help. I had a claim that I was part of violating a meeting with the Oregon Government Standards and Practices Commission. Well, that's where you make that. That's one of the places. I've actually had that lodged against me also. It's one of the places that you can make a complaint. Now, one of the other one is what Art had brought up in the first hour that I thought was very worthy, and that's simply that you can file a complaint. It's a misconduct complaint with the district attorney. You can also file a misconduct complaint with the OHA, in this case, that's the agency that is overseeing this vaccine distribution committee. So OHA has an ombudsman, which apparently ombudsmen are to represent us within the agency. So that when we have a problem with the agency, you go to the ombudsman, and the ombudsman then starts looking into it. And they work for government, but they're supposed to be independent. Yeah, all right. Maybe not. But the reality is that they have to look into it at some point. So what you're doing is you're establishing a record when you do all of these things. You could file a misconduct complaint with the DA. Maybe the DA does something with it. Maybe not. You can file a misconduct complaint with the Oregon Health Authority Ombudsman. Maybe they do something or not. Or you do the other thing, and that is you continue to look seriously at filing a lawsuit. Because it's clear they held a meeting in secret and it violated Oregon law. You can't do that. Now you ask, and what you would do probably is file a writ of mandamus, which would force the court to look at the issue and literally issue summary judgment. Now the state would object and all, okay, fine, let them object. But then you cite all of this other stuff as reasons why you had to do it. The other stuff, what do I mean? Well, aside from the obvious news stories that we're talking about, the violation of the law, the fact that you filed a complaint with the DA. Maybe the DA did something with it, maybe they didn't. Then you filed it with the ombudsman. And then you file a complaint with the Ethics Commission. Those are the three things you could do. And then the fourth thing is if none of those work, or by virtue of the fact that you did, you include them as evidence, especially if they came up with, you know, the ombudsman. I think the DA is a bit of a long shot, to be honest with you, but I think it's possible. The Ethics Commission, certainly possible. The Ethics Commission could, in fact, rule in your favor that it's obvious. Then you use that for summary judgment with a court. So what's the remedy, you ask? You get a judge to issue a remedy that imposes severe sanctions. You ask for severe sanctions on the agency if they ever do it again. Now, what that means, the agency's got to be extra careful. Because now sanctions mean, at least in some cases, I believe, I don't know it all, but sanctions mean that the individuals in the agency can be held accountable individually. Now, that takes this thing to a whole new level. If you're the director of an agency, and you can personally be held accountable, and the state can't defend you, because you violated a judge's, literally, a judge's order, the state's not going to defend you from that. Because you made a choice to do it. Now you got to go hire your own lawyers. You want to talk about why people don't do it. Look, I think this is the whole reason, in all honesty, that Newsmax hit the hit job yesterday on Mike Lindell, because they're afraid of being sued. That's what I think. Back in a moment. No, that's not comedy. That's not comedy. No, that's not comedy. Time.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. By the way, the Newsmax TV comment opportunity is really easy. Go to NewsmaxTV.com. And right up at the top on the far right corner of their website, it says viewer feedback. You click on that, and it's easy to make your comment right then and there. It's that simple. NewsmaxTV.com. I want to thank Freedom Heating and Air for being another one of our great sponsors of this radio show. You know, they were there at the Freedom Celebration. They were not only one of our two sponsors for the event, main sponsors of the event, but they also were there in person. And we really appreciated that. And they stayed the whole time, the whole day. I appreciated them being there. You know, they're one of the great companies in the Mid-Valley here that have been in business a long time. It's well over 40 years. They take care of customers. That's why they've been able to survive the ups and downs of the economic business cycles that always happen. They do that because they're really good at what they do. So with some cold weather coming, I think it'd be good if you needed some work done on your furnace, maybe your heat pump. Maybe you need to replace them. They can do all of that for you, and they can do it quickly. So go check them out on the web. It's Freedom Heating and Air. It's all one word, freedomheatingandair.net. freedomheatingandair.net. So Donald Trump must present the evidence of voter fraud. He has to. And he doesn't even have to get into Dominion voting machines or anything else. He doesn't. All you have to do is look at the data that's available already of just these three states. Now, again, this is the piece in the American Thinker today, and I've got that on the show plan, and here right at the end of the show, I will have it up on my Facebook page. And it'll also be up on the podcast, by the way, for those of you who are missing the evening show, the replay that we've done for, you know, first couple of years here at 6 o'clock, because now Dan Bongino's on. You can still listen to it at your leisure, whenever you want, by just going to KSLM.news, hovering over the podcast menu and scrolling down to Political Coffee. Click on that. When that page comes up, scroll down and click on the show that you want to listen to. And when that comes up, then you have your choice of the first or the second hour, or from previously, the first 3 hours before we went back to two. And then below those two blocks where you can click on the hours are all the resources, the same stories I put on my Facebook page I put on there also. So you can listen to it anytime you want, and you can have access to those stories. This story by Andrea Widberg, it's about Matthew Brainerd. And he's saying that he has absolute proof that Biden's victory in Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin came through election fraud. Okay? And he said this yesterday on Steve Bannon's War Room. Now, he says, Bannon asked him if it's too late. And he said, no, it's not too late to review it and present the proof. And he pointed out that, remember in 2000, the hanging Chad election where the U.S. Supreme Court finally had to step in? Because the Democrats just kept recounting like they always do to find enough votes to win. Well, he said that three major news media outlets spent millions of dollars to investigate the election for 7 months. And then remember, at the end of that time, they conceded that Bush had won Florida. even without the Supreme Court, they ultimately concluded that Bush had won Florida. Now, Brainerd yesterday in the War Room also said, oh, there's the traitor Liz Cheney. They're honoring Officer Brian Sicknick, who's lying in state, because he was killed in that riot that should have never happened at the U.S. Capitol building. By the way, well, I'm not going to get into that. Oh, there's the other traitor, Lindsey Graham-nesty. Anyway, Brainerd reluctantly admitted that the information he's gathered may not change the current White House occupant. But he's confident in his findings, and here's what he said, and I quote, what I'm finding and continuing to find, because we're actually still doing research, and we're looking forward to presenting it more aggressively without the constraints of the lawsuits we were entangled in with initially, is that these three states, the number of illegal ballots surpassed the margin of victory. Georgia, Wisconsin, Arizona, without these three, Joe Biden isn't president. I think we can prove that fairly conclusively. Okay. Let's hope that happens. Now, somebody has to present this evidence. It is critical, folks. If you go to this website, hereistheevidence.com, you can see all the evidence from various states. And it's stunning. You cannot refute this evidence. In fact, some of this evidence, you know, they've been changing it, cleaning it up, trying to massage it, especially Pennsylvania. But the one thing that they cannot change is the actual county level data. I keep talking about this, folks. This is the data that shows Trump losing votes. How does that happen? Again, that's a talking point that you can engage in with somebody who's persuadable. How do you lose votes in an election? The county level data in not only Pennsylvania, but also in Georgia shows the same thing. Now, not in every county, but in some. That's evidence, folks. That's reality. It has to come out. It just does. Because if it doesn't, well, what it'll depress the movement, the liberty movement, like you wouldn't believe. It already is starting to. Donald Trump's got to take the lead on this. He just does. Now, I think the reason I teased you with this early in the show, and I'll kind of end the show with it for today. He's being silent for a reason. He's being silent because they have cases pending. He has a Senate trial coming up starting Monday, and he's got cases pending in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. He doesn't want to poke the bear for the moment. My guess is, after these things take place, Donald Trump is going to come out loaded for bear. And he's going to be fighting harder than he's ever fought before. You wait. Because that's his nature. Thanks for joining us today, folks. It's 7:59. Stacey ends up next with Good Morning Salem. I'll see you tomorrow.